Good evening. Welcome to our final lesson, our final speaker for our summer series that we've been engaged in. What do we learn from Jesus' encounter with various people? Our speaker this evening is going to talk to us about Jesus' encounter with Peter. We're very fortunate to have with us Kevin Montgomery. Kevin is Assistant Director of Texas International Bible Institute. If that throws you a little bit, perhaps you remember it as Gulf Coast Bible Institute. They changed their name a little while back, a few years ago, to more accurately to reflect what they're doing and their outreach. This is one of the most innovative works that I think in the Brotherhood. They utilize cutting technology of the Internet to reach out to various points throughout U.S., Central America, Mexico. Their primary thrust is to the Hispanic population, teaching and training folks to become ministers. We have also, this is one work that we help support, Woodland Oaks help support, not only financially, but we also have some manpower that has worked a few times out there. Sam Bradley, Flo Mata, and Randy Bates have been on the boards at various times, and they lend a lot of support to that. So without any further ado, I'm going to turn this over to Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, for coming.
Good evening, everyone. I am so glad to be here with you tonight. It's a pleasure to see faces I know and some new faces. It's always good to be back. I'm thankful for the chance to be around you tonight and spend some time talking with you. I want to start off briefly by saying, I don't know what you need me for. This was great. I'm so thankful to be able to worship with you guys and have those kids get up and lead singing. I don't know about you, I'm just ready to go home. That was just great. I'm just so encouraged, and the message is just fantastic. So thank y'all for filling me up in the middle of the week. I appreciate this. This is wonderful. Well, I want to give y'all a brief update on the Institute, kind of let you know what's going on these days, new things, things that have changed, just kind of so we'll keep us all together. As was mentioned, I'm with the Texas International Bible Institute. Currently, we have 10 full-time international students. Five of them are in their second year. They've been working hard, doing a great job. As you can tell, they're in locations like Nicaragua, Venezuela, Mexico, Chile. We get to see these guys day in, day out. They're good men. They're working hard, doing great things for the Lord. Since I was here last time, we've also introduced five new full-time students that are international. We have three that are living in the city of Guadalajara, Mexico. So I don't know if anybody else had the chance to be living or working in Guadalajara. But we have three guys that are working as part of a series of church plants that were there. And they're interconnected but separate in different parts of the city. It's kind of like Houston. There's, I think, 7 or 8 million people in Guadalajara. So it's plenty of room for plenty of work. And the other two guys, we have one in Campeche, Mexico, and another in Venezuela, in the city of Barquisimeto. And these guys are just now getting started. We just began 2 weeks ago, and so they're kind of just getting their wings spread out and getting moving. But all 10 of our full-time international guys are doing great things. I wish that I had time to tell you all of the great things they're doing, but I wanted to show you one instance. This is one of the times we were introducing at our orientation. This was their first day, you know, and we're all talking and all these guys are discussing things. And this kind of also gives you a picture of what we see every day. This is what our screens look like when we're interacting with these guys through our video conferencing system. And so we can interact, we see each other. And yeah, I don't know if you got here on the bottom right, I think that's the right thing. Some of y'all know Steve Austin. He's the director. He's working hard and he's doing some things there. The guys there in the large screen in Guadalajara, they're involved in, a series of church plants where over the last 10 or 12 years, they've begun working in homes and developed into churches, developed into new homes and planted. And God continues to do new and more things there. It's so encouraging. Another place that we're involved in is in the Kilometer 38 Church, is what it's called. It's in the city of Tipitapa in Nicaragua. One of our second-year students, Carlos Vargas, is working there. And I had the chance to be in Nicaragua this last March and spent a week there and caught up with these guys and was able to spend some time doing some other things. And while I was there, I got to meet and talk with the elders of the Tippitoppa Church. And we went in one day to 8 different church plants that Tippitoppa was doing. And every time we'd go to these different church plants, they'd call ahead and said, "Hey, come on, we're having this gringo coming down. He's going to speak to us." It was great. I got to use the same message 8 times in one day. It was fabulous. It was so encouraging being around these young Christians that are developing in all these different places. And one of the new church plants was here in the Kilometer 38 Church with Carlos. It began in October of last year and has been growing ever since. They just recently were able to purchase land. I got an email yesterday from him. So one of the brothers donated 50 blocks for him so they can start building a building now, so they have a structure to work with. God's doing great things. And I feel like the Hebrew writer, time fails me to talk to you about this brother and that brother and this work done in Chile and this brother. I just can't tell you about it all. I would love to share more with some of the things the students are doing. Part of the curriculum of the Institute is they have to fulfill 10 hours of practicum work in the church where they're working and where they're living. So they have to be out and amongst doing the work. It's not just sitting in school learning a bunch of theory. They're putting it to work, and it's obvious, as in the case here in the Kilometer 38 Church. A lot of stuff going on. Kind of shifting gears, this last July we had the excitement of our graduation. These two guys graduated from here just down the road. They live and work with the Hidden Valley Church of Christ. And so y'all know some folks from there. They both graduated and are continuing to work partially there and possibly looking at some other locations to continue working in ministry. And we're just proud of these two guys. They worked hard, and they did great things, and they were just loved on. We had, I think over 200 people came to the graduation when all was said and done. It was huge. And their family came out, friends came out, the church loved on them, and they're just making big impacts. I think the one there on the right, Eli, was working with the youth, and the youth gave him this great big medal of it said official, you know, Medal of Honor for being the best youth minister in the world already, you know. So he's just loved on by his kids there, and they're making deep impacts and really changing lives. Well, our school, we offer all of our courses through video conferencing, as you saw the screen there a moment ago. So I'm able to talk with people all over the world. We're able to share with other Bible institutes and interact amongst ourselves. I get to teach classes that reach people in Ecuador and other locations. So we're teaching classes all the time. But the amazing thing is God's doing stuff beyond what we even anticipated. And he just never fails. When we start figuring things out, he says, no, that's not near a big enough dream. And so this last January, we started a sub-network in Brazil. I say we did. God opened some doors and got us in connection with some guys who are now have started their own sub-network using our system, using all of our software, all of our hardware, but teaching in Portuguese. I don't speak Portuguese. I can kind of understand it a little bit, but I could not carry on a conversation in Portuguese for my life. But God said, you know what? Y'all need to be working in that. So this is what God said. Okay, we're moving forward. So there's a small sub-network in Brazil reaching the Portuguese-speaking people. Also Sunset, the Sunset International Bible Institute in Lubbock, also uses our system, and we work with them for allowing them to teach classes in the evening. I don't know if y'all are aware of some of their things that are going on there where they have evening courses for leadership training and things. They use our system to do that now. So if you're interested and want to get connected with Sunset and take some of their courses, grab me afterwards and let's talk and see what ways maybe Withal Notes can get hooked in with them if that's something y'all like to do. Some other things that are going on with them is Sunset's using our things in the daytime as well. I really, as you can tell, you're in Estonia, Iceland, Guyana, Greece, some other places. I really feel sorry for the guy who teaches in Iceland. Due to the time difference, in order to teach there at a regular hour, he has to wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. And I don't know how he does it. I don't think my brain would be awake at that time. But God's going, we need to use the system. We need to use the hardware. We need to use the software. Let's do it 24/7. God's doing it. God's making it happen. We also have some other things that are going on. There's a Higher Grounds Ministry in West Texas, New Mexico that get together and save time and energy and just use our system. And God's continuing to open up more doors. We've had some other programs that are using our system that we're just thankful to let it be used. and God's doing great things with it. In June 2010, when we first started using our new the software we're using, we had 44 sites. We thought that's pretty amazing. 44 locations all over the world that are connecting with us through video conference. In 2 years, we've quadrupled. We didn't know where we're going with this. Who knows? 2 years down the road, what if we quadruple again? That'd be pretty exciting. Even just yesterday, we were having troubles with scraping the ceiling on the maximum amount of people we can have connected at one time. Isn't that a great problem, isn't it? Just like having parking problems right around the church building. You know, isn't it great when you run out of parking at a church building? Praise God. He's doing great things. Last time I was here, I mentioned part of a thing we were looking at doing was trying to acquire what's called video replay. We had a video conferencing software that allowed us to interact and things, but we were limited on being able to record or stream. It was, we were having troubles with the program we were using that was some free software online. So we talked to people, and God provided. We're able to now record and replay and video stream all of our classes live. So tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, if you want to get online, you can go to our website and see our courses streamed without having any, you know, any kind of software or anything. Just go to the place and you can watch it and hear it. This is kind of what you'll be seeing. The blessings of it are is because students sometimes, as we well know, get sick, have problems, have conflicts, and they miss class. Any class they miss now, they can just go and watch the class later. It's also a nice plan B. If somebody's having troubles with their internet, not working very well, got really slow speeds and such, which is a problem in these rural areas in Latin America, if they go onto our website, they can watch these classes with much better quality and much simply, very simply do it. It also allows us to record classes beyond the ones that are with all of our interactive stuff. We're also in the process of recording courses to do self-study courses. As you can see there, we can stream, record up to HD in HD or SD. We can make class videos available anywhere in the world immediately. Multiple professors can record and stream simultaneously. And finally, enables us to record online video from anywhere in the world. One thing we're trying to do is we're working with Sunset. Actually, they let us borrow part of their server. And we are creating an online course, a series of courses. This couple here, Pedro and Silvia del Pozo, live in Uruguay, and they are coordinating this branch kind of our school, this aspect of the TIBI. And what we're doing is we have students that are able to take courses online without having to come be there live and that kind of thing. And we know how schedule conflicts happen and so forth. So this allows them to come and study anytime they want. They can just get online, watch the videos, read all the material, take exams, turn in homework on just like a normal class at any time. And as you can see, we have over 450 students currently doing it that method. We have about 100 to 150 live students. So in, you know, ballpark figures, we're looking at about 600 students that are associated with TIBI at any one time. Great things is we're reaching areas we never thought we would. Places that you can see like the Dutch Antilles, Australia, Cocoa Island. Again, these are not Spanish-speaking places. But God said, I want to reach these people in these countries. Who knew? It's an amazing God we serve, isn't it? Well, Lord willing, we're going to be able to try to finish up all of our 40 courses that we give to our live students and make them available through self-study. And that way, if there's a brother working in down in Latin America that wants to study, but he's working full-time, he just can't make class, he can chip away little by little and study online with us through self-study courses. And that way, he can get his certificate just like if someone were studying with us live. But more importantly than a certificate, he'll get the knowledge to be a good, solid teacher and preacher of the gospel. This kind of gives you an idea of what it looks like. Across the top there, this is what you'd see if you go onto the website. They have the video going on there, and then you have a little study guide on the side where you can read it more easily. It's kind of an outline, so forth. As you can see, the ones we have completed, we've done homiletics, spiritual foundations. You can read the list there. Up until this last, about 8 months, we were having to pull people and bring people to Houston to film them. I mean, this is like regular kind of filming. It was a lot of challenge, a lot of cost. Or we would have to take some one of our filmers and go towards these places all over the world to get the best teachers that were most qualified for teaching different courses. Well, now we have video replay. I can sit down here in Houston with my camera right on top of my laptop. I can record my class. At the same time, there can be a brother in Buenos Aires, Argentina, recording another class. And another brother in Quito, Ecuador, recording his class. All at the same time, without having to do all the airfare, all the transport, all that kind of stuff. And it's working great. We're in the process of continuing to produce all the ones there in red. We just are about to get Greek 1 and Hebrew 1 up online. We're excited about that. We had some challenges with all the fonts and all that stuff. If you've ever studied Greek or Hebrew, you know that gets really, really awkward and challenging. So we're just about there. We're excited about that and have a number of others that are on the way. So we really feel very positive that by the end of next year, there's a good possibility we have all 40 courses online available. But really, when it comes right down to it, and this is, I'm going to leave you with this. Since 2007, TIBI has been involved with 900 plus baptisms, 16 church plants. Through this, we're saying that either teachers, churches that are involved with us, students, graduates, we know of 900 thereabouts. Who knows how many more? We give praise to God, and we give honor to the folks that are in those pictures and those that are on the ground in various spots throughout the world. And we give thanks to you because y'all are making this happen. You are involved in this process. This is part of your work. And I'm grateful that you have been involved with us for so long, doing amazing things. We serve a great God. He's doing great things. I'm going to stop. You know, I've kind of gone on here, and I'm going to take just a couple of minutes. Are there questions about what I've said that you want to throw at me real fast before we move on towards lesson stuff? If you have any questions, don't hesitate to grab me afterwards and tell me, Kevin, tell me more about this or tell me more about that, and I'll be glad to share a little bit more with you on whatever aspect you'd like. Well, we're going to study about N tonight. I have no idea what happened on that. don't you love it when you don't prepare beforehand and then don't go run through it? We're going to study a lot tonight. Unfortunately, only N came through at this point. Hey, there we go. We're going to look at an encounter with the Apostle Peter tonight. This summer, I know you guys have been looking at different encounters with Jesus. Whenever I was assigned the idea of doing the Apostle Peter, I thought, where do you go with that? You know? I mean, Peter, he didn't have an encounter. He had 3 years of encounters. What do you do with 3 years of encounter in 10 minutes? Well, I think Peter's encounters, and one specifically in John chapter 21, demonstrate a return to active duty. Just this last week, I had the chance to watch an older movie, Wind Talkers. Have you all watched that? It's about a World War II activity where the government was using Navajo code talkers in the Pacific in order to keep, you know, things hidden from the Japanese. And well, in the story, there's the main character, played by Nicolas Cage, who is hurt in a battle, and he's sent back to the infirmary, and he's in a wheelchair because he had basically the right side of his head was damaged, and his hearing was completely messed up. His ears were completely messed up. He couldn't walk straight, and he couldn't hear anything. Well, he was just anxious to get back to duty. He couldn't wait. He was doing everything he could. He kind of pulled some tricks and so forth and was able to get back into duty, if you remember the movie. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about how Peter wanted to get back onto active duty. And we all know the story of Peter, I think, tonight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over what happened. We know he had a big blunder, didn't he? The night before Jesus is going to be crucified, Jesus tells all of his apostles, look, you're going to fall away, all of you. And Peter says, no, we won't. I won't. You can trust me. Well, he knows 3 times before tomorrow morning, Peter, it's going to happen. And we keep reading, and Jesus is taken prisoner, taken to the house of Caiaphas. And this always puts a chill down my spine. At the moment the cock crows, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." Oh. And he went and wept bitterly. Could you imagine that being your last encounter with the Messiah? Could you imagine that moment in Peter's heart? You've been following this guy for 3 years, and you just denied him, and he looks at you. I'm thankful that wasn't the last encounter for Peter. Aren't you? We find out after the resurrection, Jesus raises from the dead. Some women go to the tomb, we know. And we have this little verse from Mark 16, and I love it. The angel tells the two ladies, go tell his disciples and what? And Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. Go to Galilee and wait for him there. I love that. I love it, the fact that the messenger from God says, don't let Peter think that he's not welcomed anymore. Don't make him feel like he's been part of the apprentice and he's been fired, right? He's got another chance. It's going to be okay, Peter. I still want you to come. And then we come to John chapter 21. And that's where I'm going to spend a few minutes, the last minutes we have here, and looking at this story between Jesus and Peter in John chapter 21. If you've got a Bible, look there, and we'll look in, and I'm going to summarize the first few verses. If you remember the story, Peter says, hey, we're sitting up here at the lake, let's go fishing. I mean, really, if you're going to be at a lake, why not take advantage of the moment? Fishing's a great thing. So he goes out with the other guys, and they're fishing. And it says they don't catch anything all night. And so Jesus shows up on the shore and sees them out there and says, hey, did y'all catch anything? Didn't catch anything. Well, as we love this little kid's song, cast your nets on the other side, right? Tells them to cast their nets on the other side. They do, big catch, and then a light bulb goes on in John's head. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And what does Peter do? You remember? I love it. He takes off. They're in the middle of the water, and he takes off. But what does he do before that? What does he do before going off into the water? Did you ever notice that? It says he puts his cloak on. He puts his coat on. All right. How many of you guys swim? How many of you guys are going to put your coat on before you dive in the water? I am convinced, I may be wrong on this, this is just a Kevin opinion, but I think Peter thought, I'm walking back. I really think so. I think he thought, there's the Lord, he let me walk last time, I'm going. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But he puts his coat on, he takes off, falls in, swims back. And he gets to the beach, and the Lord receives him. And they have breakfast. They eat. And then we get to this passage. I hope you can see it if you don't have a Bible. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd, my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said it to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And so Jesus says to him, tend my sheep. I would love to have been watching this take place. I would love to have been a fly on the fish on the table. Watching this happen. Because don't you know, Peter was anxious to be around the Lord. I mean, he jumped off the boat. He desperately wanted to be back in fellowship with his Lord. And Jesus wants to tell him some things. Well, so something interesting about this whole connection. There's a lot of connection between the betrayal and this restoration. For one thing, Jesus starts off again by saying, "Do you love me more than these?" Do you remember, if you put your brain back to earlier on in the chapter, they're at the Lord's Supper. Jesus says, "You're all going to deny me." And what happens? They all say, no, we're going to be with you. But what does Peter say? "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And in the Greek, it's very emphatic, "I." And it's just like, "I don't know about all these other bozos, but I'm going to be there, Jesus. You can count on it." Oh. So what does he say this time? When Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," period. He's done with comparing himself. "But I love you, Lord Jesus. I learned my lesson from last time. I love you." Another thing that we see in these two things is, how many times does Jesus ask Peter if he loves him? Did y'all count? Three, right? How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. I don't know. Could this be what really hit Peter? When he says that he was grieved for having asked him the third time, it could be just he's going, "I told you twice, I really do love you. Do you doubt it?" And there's some things with the words in Greek and so forth between the type of love he says. And, you know, without getting too deep into that, it hurt Peter for Jesus to ask him three times. And it may have been simply the fact that he was so clearly reminded, "I did reject you three times, Lord. And you keep asking me the same three times." But more importantly, and this is really what I want to get to tonight about this encounter, is how many times was Peter invited back into ministry and affirmed? Jesus told him, "Tend my lambs." He told him, "Shepherd my sheep." And then he said, "Tend my sheep." Each time. Jesus just as, so for, he's telling Peter, "Just like you deny me three times, I'm going to come back and I'm going to invite you back three times." And if you look back in this culture at this day and age, the idea of a student, a disciple, rejecting and even not even admitting that he knows his rabbi, that's completely unheard of. That's blasphemous. I mean, they had stories that, you know, if you read back in some of their literature, that if you as a disciple see that your dad and your rabbi are in prison, and you've only got one shot to get one person out of prison, you go for the rabbi. If you see your rabbi and your dad carrying something really heavy, you go help the rabbi and you let your dad keep carrying it. There was a deep, deep bond between the disciple and their rabbi and their teacher. And the idea that someone would deny their rabbi, completely unheard of. And so I'm sure Peter thought, "I'm done. There's no way." So Jesus is really clear. "Peter, come back. Peter, get back into work. Get back to work. You can do it. You're back with me." But my question for us now is, what is the requirements to go back to active duty? Did y'all pick it up? What was Jesus' question every time? "Do you love me?" He didn't ask him for his DD-12 or DD-214, if those of y'all that are in military, right? He didn't ask him if he had the right stamps of the RE1, RE2. He didn't ask him to make promises that he would never mess up ever again. In short, it came down to one question. "Peter, do you love me? You want to get back into active service, Peter?" That's it. "Do you love me?" I'm thankful for this story, personally. I'm grateful that God has allowed us to have this in Scripture to remind us that we can fail. We can completely blow it. And that doesn't put an end to our service. This encounter between Peter And Jesus, in this case, teaches us an important, important lesson. You're never too broken for service. I want to think about a couple of things here in applying this to us. In this case, when Peter had blown it, it all came back to one question. Do you love me? And I think that question is what we have to continually ask ourselves. Do we really love this Yeshua of Nazareth? Do we really love this guy Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we really love him? I grew up all my life thinking, yeah, I love Jesus. And in my mind, that equates to I'm going to do what he says. And yet, don't get me wrong, we know that's true, right? We know that there's some truth to that. But it was very devoid of any emotional connection. And as I've grown, I've been taught by some really wonderful saints when I used to work in El Paso. I could just watch them. I could see that when they talked about Jesus, it was like, it was their best friend. They loved this guy with all their heart. And I was just going, man, that's amazing. And it challenged me, deepened me. So for us, it's about loving him. Now, I don't know what kind of world you've been in. I have no idea what's your background, what struggles you face. I'm not inside your skin. I don't know what you've been through. But I think sometimes we don't get involved in ministry. We don't get involved in a ministry because we feel kind of like Peter did, sitting on that beach on the Sea of Galilee. And I think we sometimes, are kind of like the person in Wind Talkers, the lead character who got his ears hurt and he couldn't hear anything. I think we sometimes don't get to hear Jesus' voice saying, hey, do you love me? And if so, go feed my sheep. It's a pretty simple question. Do you love me? And in your world, maybe you've faced some really challenges, some big challenges in ministry in the past. Maybe you've tried something, and it just went all ways but right. And you're going, I ain't doing that again. Maybe you need to hear Jesus' voice ask you again, do you love me? And if it's yes, go feed my sheep. Maybe you've been kind of like Peter and really, really blew it. I mean, really. Knee deep, ears deep in sin, and really blew it. I don't know. But you've wept, you've changed, and you come grabbing your coat, running to the Lord, but you still don't feel like you're worthy to work. I don't know. But maybe you need to hear Jesus' words again. Do you love me? And if so, go feed my sheep. Or maybe it's simply a matter of you've made mistakes with your family. Maybe your kids didn't turn out like you wanted them to. Or maybe you've made some poor choices with your business. Or maybe you've made some really bad decisions with regards to your spouse or something. I don't know. And now you think, there's no way that God can let me back into ministry. There's no way that God can let me be useful in this church because I've just blown it too much in these areas. Or maybe it's, I would love to get back into ministry if only I wouldn't have done this. And that's that thing you're thinking about right now. Hear the words of Christ. He says, do you love me? And if we respond yes, he says, get to work. He says, get to work. We serve a great God, don't we? He's doing things within us. And I'm so thankful that this summer you've had a chance to see some different encounters and to be encountered by the living Christ. Peter had a great encounter with the Lord. Put him back on track. Sent him forth. And we know the rest of the story in the book of Acts, right? So maybe your life needs to be the same. I hope if you're struggling with that kind of thing, of not wanting to get back into ministry, let Peter challenge you. Let God's words penetrate. And listen to the Lord tell you, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. It's a blessing to be with you tonight. I thank you for your faith. Thank you for your vision and continue to work with the Institute and work here in the Woodlands area. I'm going to listen to a word of prayer, and then I believe there's some announcements and some things. So let's go to God in prayer.